Welcome. You're listening to Casually Baked, the podcast, home base for the can of curious. Thanks for tuning in.
It's a hard time. We had a hard time together. Together. Yes, it's a hard time. We had a hard time together.
As a cannabis lifestyle guide, I find that the dosing dilemma is one of the biggest hurdles for newbies trying to onboard into cannabis for wellness, or as a patient looking to incorporate cannabis into their treatment plan for movement disorders, cancer, and other diseases or illnesses. That's why I'm thrilled to share today's podcast guest with you. If you're looking for straight shooting, no-nonsense guidance on dosing, you're in the right place. Buckle up, Buttercup. It's time you get to know Mara Gordon. And Mara agreed to be the podcast guinea pig for a video version of the show, which will soon be available on casuallybaked.com and Cannabis Club TV. In the meantime, the show must go on, so I'm serving it up here old school style. Mara's going to drop some knowledge, so pay attention, but don't worry. I'll share links in the show notes. You know me, I got your back.
I got the bottle of wine, the high dollar kind. I got the West Coast smoke, but I better just take one toke.
Hi, y'all. I'm Joe, your host and cannabis lifestyle guide. And today on the podcast, I am joined by one of my heroes in cannabis, Mara Gordon. Mara, thank you so much for being here with me today and being the experiment for our very first podcast for Cannabis Club TV.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Joe.
Absolutely. So you have a lot going on, and I don't want to mess it up. Where you have made your claimed your fame in cannabis. Tell me about that.
Okay. So I started Aunt Zelda's about 7 years ago now in order to help to better understand the different endocannabinoid system, the cannabinoids, the phytocannabinoids, the receptors, and also to solve the dosing conundrum that I saw out there. Because when I first started, it was all about, you know, brownies and Rice Krispie treats and those sorts of things and no dosing and flowers. And that was about it. Mm-hmm. So Aunt Zelda's has spent 7 years doing R&D to develop very, very well understood medicines for treating various diseases. And what I also realized was that we needed the medical professionals to be the one managing the healthcare, because what I was seeing was, you know, people who had no medical training, and I still see it way too much, too rampantly, people that have no medical training making dosing recommendations and selling products that sort to people without any kind of guidance. So I started Calis Spring Wellness and started training doctors and nurses in how to work with patients with the endocannabinoid system. The next thing that was necessary to solve dosing, because if we keep in mind that the dosing question is what drives everything that I do, I started Zelda Therapeutics, which is a publicly traded company out of Australia, and we fund preclinical and clinical research. And in fact, we were just approved in Australia to do the first sleep study using a THC-dominant medicine. So
that's
I'm very, very excited about that.
Congratulations.
One more thing. I know it's crazy. I'm doing too much. Nobody knows when I sleep. I don't think I do, is CDR Med, which is my software platform that I've been developing to help. It keeps getting smarter and smarter, utilizing all the information from all the patients, and then it starts getting more predictive on what's going to work and trends and different.
And so that software program is something that your doctors use to help. Because I created this paper dosage tracker. So this is a much more sophisticated version.
Yes.
And it was just that idea that we need to be willing to experiment. And in order to do that, we need to track all of this
stuff. Right. So when somebody joins Aunt Zelda's or Calis Spring Wellness, they'll fill out about a 300 data point survey. Very, very similar to what you would get if you went to any specialist, if you went to a neurologist or you went to an allergy specialist. There's questions, you know, they want to know your family history, et cetera. But we're also tracking things like, or we want to have all their information on their cannabinoid experience. So, you know, did they use it in college and hated it? Are they using it every day now? What are they using? How are they using it? All that sort of thing. Plus, we get pretty extensive military information because we are looking for trends in, you know, similar to what they found from Agent Orange after Vietnam and Gulf War syndrome. After the first Iraq war, we're looking for the same sorts of things in these latest skirmishes around the world.
What's one of the most exciting things that you're finding in your research?
What I'm finding is that, of course, I'm always happy when what I suspect actually turns out to be true.
Of course, aren't we all?
You know, and one of the things that we were looking at was, you know, a lot of people are creating these distillates and these, you know, single molecules and pure compounds. And we were looking at things like, does a full plant extract compared to a pure compound, which does a better job of killing cancer cells? Mm-hmm. And we have found that whole plant is far, far superior mm-hmm. in killing cancer cells. And that was, you know, very rewarding to find what we believed actually turned out to be mm-hmm. true. I mean, we know that the other medical benefits of so many of the other terpenes and terpenoids, flavonoids, other cannabinoids, et cetera, in the mm-hmm. plant, it's necessary that they're there. I think we've also found that there is zero correlation between weight and dose. Okay. So the milligrams per kilogram that's commonly used in allopathic mm-hmm. medicine just does not apply, okay. Or I should say not in allopathic, but in standard pharmaceutical dosing. But we have found that there is correlation. We're not sure exactly to what degree yet between the age of the patient and the dose. The lower the age, the higher the dose.
So I believe I had read that as women age, they do have a higher tolerance for, is it THC or is it for cannabis in general?
By higher tolerance, you mean that they need more?
Like after women go through menopause, yeah, like their bodies can tolerate a higher dosage. So that seems counterintuitive to what you just said. So
yeah, that's not really what we
have.
There's
so many myths out there.
Yeah, that's not what the data is showing. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, the thing about data, you know, because I am a process engineer, and the mm-hmm. thing that always gets me about data is we don't know how big the N is going to be before we find the repeats and the patterns for the correlation on certain data points. We do know that the trend shows that. For example, I might have a 2-year-old with a GBM that's on 700 milligrams of cannabinoids, and I may have a 70-year-old that has that same diagnosis that's on 100, 150 milligrams. So, okay. And that is really, truly more the trend. I find that women, especially women as they get older, tend to have a lower tolerance, not mm-hmm. a higher.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Good to know. So your background is data science. So what led you to doing that in the cannabis space particularly? Was it a personal passion that led you here?
Right. So when I first got started in this, my husband, who has now at this point been sober for 29 years, and me, we both had significant health issues. In his case, he had broken his back and was going to have surgery in order to not be crippled in a wheelchair.
Wow.
I had been on, you know, 26 pharmaceuticals at one point. I'd been on fentanyl patch, methadone, Norco, you name it.
Wow.
And I had titrated off of all of them. So I was living in significant pain because they didn't help with the pain anyway. They're mm-hmm. for acute pain, not chronic.
Mm-hmm.
So we went looking for alternatives. And a woman that we know from Oregon told us that she was making brownies for her boyfriend for his cervical spinal pain. So I went searching around and I went looking and I started doing the research and everything. And we went to a formal doctor and got a recommendation, you know, mm-hmm. this and that. And he gave us the names of 3 dispensaries, but pointed to the one that we should go to. And we went there and I was shocked at the lack of knowledge and information that was available. You know, as I referred to the brownie and Rice Krispie treat, the Rice Krispie treat had a piece of masking tape on it and it said 5 to 20 doses, and which is a meaningless, you know, statistically. I mean, what does that even mean?
Right.
How many milligrams? What's a dose? You know, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. And I said, well, I just went home and said, I can do better.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And so I decided to do better. And that's what the last 7 years of my life have been spent doing.
Outstanding. Well, thank you for that. We need you. With all of the research and data you're collecting, how are you disseminating all of that critical information? Because like we were talking earlier, too many people get false information from social media and things like that. So where are you blasting out this information into the world? And that way I can know to direct my people to accurate information.
Right. I wish that the industry, quote unquote, understood to put money where the science and where the real information is. But unfortunately, we have a system at this point where the companies will often not really care about what's in their product, and they put all their money into marketing and branding and packaging to look cool. And as a result, the companies like mine that have been strictly focused on R&D tend to be less well-known. Mm-hmm. People that know us love us and respect us, but we're not. I mean, I look at some of these companies that weren't in existence 6 months ago, and now they're on every shelf and every dispensary. Yeah. And it's like, I've even had owners of some of these companies say to me, "You're making such a big mistake manufacturing. You should just buy some mass-produced oil and just put all yours into your marketing." And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me know and tell people not to use your product.
I'm like, I'll get a list for me later.
Right. So what I do is I lecture. I figure the best way, I do things like this. I come over here and I meet with you, Joe. I just got back from 2 weeks in Colombia. I spoke twice in Bogota and twice in Medellin, all at medical conferences. Mm-hmm. I teach doctors and other medical professionals. Also, there's a lot of product companies that are trying to do the right thing, and they just need some guidance on where the line is drawn, on where they can make a recommendation and where they need to refer out to a medical professional.
Right. Outstanding. Well, there are a lot of people that listen and now watch the podcast who are trying to dive into a cannabis for wellness lifestyle. I'm of the humble opinion that cannabis is our most versatile multivitamin, but there's a strategy behind using it properly. So do you have any tips that you would give someone who's new into cannabis to kind of empower them to experiment confidently?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing, of course, is you always begin very, very, very low, and you increase very slowly. What I often tell people is, if you've been suffering with a malady, for example, let's say you have chronic back pain. Mm-hmm. You've been suffering with this pain for a long time. It will not hurt you to suffer for 2 or 3 more days while you titrate up. The mistake a lot of people make is they take something. They don't feel anything for the first hour or two. So they take some more, and then all of a sudden it hits. Mm-hmm. And then they go, oh, wow, I tried cannabis. It didn't work for me. I had a terrible experience. Well, you know, the best way to guarantee not having a negative experience, of course, is to start very low. I also suggest that people start with something that has THC and CBD in it initially, regardless of what they're doing, just so they can start acclimating to it. For example, our medicines are infused olive oil, which is what we use the most because it's easy to dose correctly. We have it standardized at 10 milligrams per milliliter and at 50 milligrams per milliliter.
Okay.
If so that on the 10 milligram per milliliter, one drop would have a third of a milligram in it approximately. That is not an unrealistic starting point for somebody.
Okay.
Anyone who's ever colored their hair and has done a patch test, it's no different. Start, you know, I don't care that you used it in college and loved it. Chances are if you loved it in college, you've been using it all these years. Most people that tried it years ago hated it or didn't find that it worked for them. This is a different, I was one of those people, and this is a different world. So start very, very low. Also, do not start with an edible.
Yes.
Do not start with an edible, because edibles are the most consistently inconsistent products in the marketplace. What they say on their packaging versus what's in them is rarely accurate.
I believe that.
Yeah. So, and plus the fact that you don't need all the extra sugars and, you know, white flour and some of the other crap that I see people putting into their products. Mm-hmm. So start with something that you can put, you know, sublingually, where it'll go through your mucosal, where it'll be more consistent. Make sure you have a little bit of fat in your diet that you've eaten also,
okay,
so that it can attach and be more bioavailable.
Mm-hmm.
And then very, very slowly increase. Now, I suggest that if you have other medical conditions, comorbidities, where you're taking pharmaceuticals, you're going to want to check to make sure the metabolism method of those other pharmaceuticals that you're on, because there's something in the liver. It's way too technical going into this,
fair
and
enough.
I understand.
Yeah.
For example, a lot of times when people are on opioids, they'll say, I took just a little tiny bit of cannabis and I couldn't believe it. I got so much higher on my opioid. Yes, you did. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And that's because of the way that it metabolizes in your liver. Mm-hmm. And CBD will block that quite a bit, or shift the way that it's actually processed.
So going to CalisSpringsWellness.com, someone who is on pharmaceutical drugs could consult with a doctor to make sure that they are using it appropriately and in conjunction with their medicines. Some of these pharmaceuticals, they make cannabis more potent, and some it makes it less potent,
absolutely,
correct?
Absolutely. 100% agree. Yeah, you go to CalisSpring Wellness and make an appointment with one of the doctors, they'll go through all of the pharmaceuticals that you're on, all of the supplements, your diet, your exercise, your lifestyle, your previous experience, and help you determine what is going to be the best ratio of cannabinoids, which terpenes. For example, if somebody has PTSD, we have less wars right now than we've ever had in history, but we have more people coming back from those wars and surviving their injuries. Mm-hmm. And as a result, we have some pretty, you know, severe with the traumatic brain injuries, mm-hmm. People losing limbs, people just being injured from their backs, etc. So we have all these vets. PTSD is often treated with Ritalin or Adderall, which for the average person would act like speed.
Right.
But for them, it calms them. Terpenes like alpha and beta pinene, which can be very, very beneficial for them, are very calming. Somebody who doesn't have that, though, it can be very...
Yeah, it can make me a bit anxious.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It makes me, for example, feel extremely anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you want to have... anything that you're going to take, you want to make sure that you've seen a lab result associated with it. You want to make sure there are no pesticides and microbials and molds, mildews, solvents. You really need to demand this level of accuracy on any products that anybody uses.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't start with, you know, your buddy's stash.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I would go to somebody where you know that there's a lab result associated with it,
mm-hmm.
and just start low and increase slowly.
Now, there are some things that people should look for on the packaging and steer clear of. So what are your list of no-nos?
Oh, there's just so many. I really don't think there should be any sugar in any products, first of all. I just don't, it just doesn't even make any sense to me, especially since we deal with so much serious illness at Aunt Zelda's, and it's a known fact that inflammation is the cause and the culprit of so much disease state. And sugar is directly tied to inflammation.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. But now let's get into more dangerous, I mean, really dangerous things like propylene glycol in a lot of the vape cartridges.
Mm-hmm.
Propylene glycol is a known carcinogen and can cause not only lung cancer, but can cause severe COPD. And so you're going to use your cannabis to feel better, but in the meantime, you're going to be giving yourself cancer. So it seems kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah, just a bit.
Yeah, same thing with VG. You don't want to have anything in your vape cartridge other than cannabis.
Now, and that's some vegetable glycerin?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's
so. Some people are adding terpenes back in order to dilute it, but the reality is the amount you would need is so tiny, and most are over adding. And so you want to be, you know, when you feel that scratchiness back here, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. If you can take a vaporizer cartridge and turn it and have it be a liquid at all, you know that they've put something in to dilute
mm-hmm.
it. Because when the cannabinoids are pulled from the plant, they're a sticky, solid form almost. It's more like a tar.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, because in the wintertime, if I have, you know, my vape cartridge, I've accidentally left it in the car somewhere. something, you have to like heat it up against the heater to get it moving again.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Those are good tips. So are there, I'm making you talk, if you need
that's
a sip
okay.
of water.
That's
coffee,
okay. That's I'll okay. No, this is actually lemon ginger tea.
Oh, lovely.
Yes, yes,
nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you not, you're probably not a coffee drinker.
I'm not a coffee drinker. Yeah. I'm not a coffee, meat, sugar, none of that, flour.
You're good. You're super healthy.
Well, like I often say, I did not win the health lottery. I have a significant health issues, and I plan on being around a very, very long time, and so I have to do more than the average bear.
Yeah, that's right. You're diligent with your wellness.
Yeah.
That's.
I got too much to do to be gone.
Yes, I know. We're counting on you. We talked about, you know, the microdosing and experimenting, but for someone who is in the throes of experimenting, what kind of things should they document to just kind of track what's happening with them?
Very good question, Joe. First thing they need to look at is how much they took. They must be able to figure out the dose itself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did they take? And they should associate it to a lab result if they have one, or to a label or a package or something, so that we know that that's, in fact, what they took. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The second thing, and to make sure it's safe and doesn't have any of the toxins, et cetera, in it. The second thing that they should look at is the what they'd eaten and what time they took it and how long it took before they felt it. Then how long it took before it peaked, whether it accomplished what they wanted it to do, and how long until it wore off.
Okay.
So those are the things that you really need to look at and see the pattern. And that way, if you know, okay, somebody took a, you know, a tincture and they took 10 milligrams of it, and which, by the way, do not start at 10 milligrams. That's way too much unless you are already using. And even in those cases, I'm really shocked sometimes. I know this is a segue, but that's sometimes people will come to me and they'll say, oh, I'm very, very experienced. I use so much cannabis. I've been using it for 30 years. And then we give them something and they'll say, oh my gosh, I couldn't get up off the sofa. And it's like, okay. You have no idea how much you were actually using before. Plus the fact that, of course, smoking it is the least bioavailable. So if people were smoking joints all this time, they're probably getting 10, 12% of what they're getting versus what they get in the extracts or the oils.
So do you think like 2.5 milligrams is a good starting point?
That might be too much for somebody.
Okay.
I mean, I think that if you start somebody at, you know, like I said, I have some people, I've actually desensitized people at their arterial vein with a third of a milligram to get them to be able to build up. But if somebody can start at like, you know, 1 milligram, I mean, a third is extreme, and it's for people who we can pretty well tell when we're talking to somebody how they're going to react. You can listen, you learn to listen to some of the cues. It has to do, interestingly enough, with people's tolerance for feeling altered.
Absolutely. There, because there are people that it makes them nervous to feel that way. And so then that sets off an entire chain reaction.
Right. And we find that primarily more with women than with men. Women needing a sense to be in control, where THC in particular can be very expansive and that can be very frightening. And I would rather start somebody a little lower and have it take an extra day or two than start them at something that's going to like, oh, I wasn't prepared to feel that. Then they are turned off.
Yeah. That's like a metaphor for women's life, I feel like.
Yeah, it
They're is. They're like, I wasn't prepared to feel that.
Exactly. Exactly.
For someone who's a little bit more experienced like me, some of these products that are coming out, like one of the things that Monica was working on, is these cannabinoid-specific sublinguals. So if, you know, as she's makes things, she gives them to me to try.
Right.
A woman in her 40s who is using cannabis for wellness, like what kind of milligrams of each of those? So I'm taking a THCA tablet, a CBD tablet, and a THC tablet. You know, I take zero pharmaceutical drugs. I no sleeping pills, nothing. I work hard enough. I sleep like a baby.
Yeah.
So what would be a dosage that you would think would be good for me on that?
For you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Are the ones you're taking, are they pure compounds? Because you're talking about tablets. So they've been made into an isolate and then pressed.
It's whole plant.
It is whole plant. Mm-hmm. It's whole plant and then pressed into a tablet.
I believe that's accurate.
Okay.
Monica is going to be talking to me about these on a podcast soon, but
okay.
I believe that, and they were 3 milligrams, I believe,
okay.
for the tablets.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know enough about those
right.
medicines
sure, sure,
to
sure.
tell you at all.
Right.
But for example, I have a product, we just call it our women's blend.
Oh, okay.
I've been treating women with it for about 6.5 years now, since I started developing it. And I finally just released it as a product about a month ago.
Okay.
It's all been on custom, you know, for
I'm
patients
excited.
Ever
I haven't
since
heard
then.
About it yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, tell me
yeah,
more.
In fact, it's on the shelves over at Harvest in San Francisco on
okay.
Geary. Right now, that's we are not in the dispensaries. We are a hard company to work with
uh-huh.
because we want to control the information and mm-hmm. be able to dose the patients correctly. But with the new regulations, we're going to have to move in. So this was my first forage into the dispensaries. And the women's blend is approximately 1-4
okay.
Ratio
mm-hmm.
of THC to CBD.
Mm-hmm.
We always say the THC first, CBD second.
Mm-hmm.
And it has about 10 milligrams of CBD,
mm-hmm.
and it has, I think, 2.5 or something like that. I think actually it's 11 milligrams of CBD and 2.5 of THC. I have to look at it exactly
okay.
to see the lab results. But this is a product that I developed for women of a certain age. You're not quite there yet.
Okay.
However, I believe that it would still be an appropriate dose because that 2.5 milligram or 3 milligram that it is for women, that's a really good
okay.
basic. You know, you feel the feedback that we regularly get is, I just feel better. I don't know why. I don't
mm-hmm.
feel altered. I just feel better.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for that boost of energy, that little bit of, you know, without realizing that you've taken anything.
Yeah,
even.
I feel a lightness when I take CBD.
Yeah, yeah. The interesting, about a third of the people who take CBD feel anxious, and about a third feel sleepy.
There was one CBD strain that I tried. It was a 1-3 ratio, and I thought it would be excellent for my meditation. I'd do a cannabis-infused meditation every morning. And for the first time, I went to sleep during my meditation.
Oh,
I
wow.
was like, oh, that's odd. I didn't expect that. So
right.
I hadn't heard, and I kept asking people, I'm like, does CBD make you sleepy?
It can make you very sleepy.
Okay.
Because you got to remember, if you're dealing with whole plant, first of all, you're dealing with all the other cannabinoids and terpenes that are in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that I often hear from people is, oh yeah, I'm taking a high CBD medicine. And then I look at the actual medicine itself, and it's got just as high a THC in it, but because it's got a lot of CBD, they forget about that.
Right.
Right. So that 1-3, you still had a significant amount of THC in there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the fact, depending on which cultivar it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did it come from one that, you know, is a narrow leaf plant or a broad leaf plant
mm-hmm.
where the terpenes in there, myrcene and linalool versus alpha pinene and limonene, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it really does make a big difference. The vast majority of people can do fine on 10 milligrams of CBD,
mm-hmm.
but you do have to look and see what else is in the plant.
Yeah. So tell me, do you do any juicing or smoothies with whole plant or the leaves?
Yeah. So I think that the leaves, I think, are a waste. The
okay.
leaves that's silly.
Okay.
I mean, why would you use the leaves that have almost nothing on them when you could use the flowers that are full of medicine?
Uh-huh.
Right.
Okay.
So I have people that are juicing, but you have to make sure that you use a masticating juicer in order to get the benefit of it.
So it doesn't heat it, right?
Well, it doesn't heat it, but also so that you get the pulp from it and not just the juice. I mean, any
okay.
juicer that only gives you the liquid is going to just give you the sugars.
Well,
you
and
need,
so that's
yeah.
why I was like, I feel like you would need to make a smoothie out of it instead of juicing it, because I felt like stuff would be left on the
right,
table.
Right, right. So sometimes I take, sorry, excuse me, I'm going to move your table.
It's okay, it's sometimes, on wheels.
Yeah, yeah, whoo. Yeah, it's very nice. So sometimes I will take it and just, you know, grind it up and,
uh-huh.
you know, use a grinder just like you would if you were going to
uh-huh.
roll a joint or put a
uh-huh.
bowl. And, you know, put that in a salad or put it in the food and you don't even really notice it.
Okay.
Or put it in a yogurt. THCA has absolutely phenomenal benefits. It has, I mean, obviously it's fantastic for the stomach. People that are using CBD for seizure disorders, mm-hmm. and the seizures start coming back. You can switch to THCA and often find that they're able to have that benefit that they no longer were getting from the CBD.
Okay.
I mean, there's just a myriad of things that it's good for, so I highly recommend it.
Okay, so what would a dose be for someone that wanted to use it in that manner? So if we ground it up, is it, you know, a teaspoon or what?
Well, yeah, so, well, just from a, you know, I know that in Western, well, in the U.S., I should say, we do everything with, you know, imperial instead of metric.
Right, right, right.
So, but let me go back to metric for a minute,
okay.
because it really is more accurate when it comes to dosing. There are 5 milliliters in 1 teaspoon.
Okay.
And a milliliter is, from a volume standpoint, is almost equal to a gram of weight in cannabis because of the specific gravity of cannabis.
Okay.
I know that just went whoop, but it's very, very close.
Okay.
So let's take that in mind. If you have lab-tested medicine and you have a gram of flower that's 20% flower, that means there are 200 milligrams of the cannabinoid in there. Assuming it's a THCA, it's a high, you know, people think of as a high THC flower. It's actually a high THCA flower.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. Right.
Right.
Until
and one of
something.
The, right. And one of the reasons that it's important to also have the lab results on the raw is because there's a natural process of decarboxylation that happens in the plant itself, where you may end up with some of the activated THC when you weren't trying to.
Right.
So let's say you have flower that's 20%. And actually, I'd probably going to say in 2018, which we're around the corner, I would say 25% because the flowers have gotten stronger and stronger.
Okay.
I mean, when I, you know, it used to be you were lucky if you had between 5 and 8% in your flowers, and now there's some that are 33 and 34%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a lot of cannabinoids.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have like a 25%, that means there's 250 milligrams of THCA in the flower, I would take probably about no more than like 30 to 50 milligrams. So maybe just even just take a quarter to a fifth of that of a gram and then grind that up.
Okay.
You would have to eat a lot of leaves to get that much, which is why it's so much more efficient and better for you.
Mm-hmm. I'd started getting leaves from my delivery service and, you know, you just, you don't always get the lab tests and then I don't feel comfortable using it. But the idea being like, oh, well, if it's a, you know, I'll replace the kale, it's a leafy green vegetable, one for the other.
Right.
But so it's more efficient and you do now have the test results on the flower.
Right.
So, okay.
That well, the leaves sense. Would be okay if you're looking to replace kale.
Yeah. Well,
but if you're looking to as a supplement, it's really inefficient.
Right.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, that's what we want.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, so tell me a little bit before we wrap up, because I have used your muscle rub and it actually, I've had it by my nightstand. Sometimes I wake up, I sleep funny and my shoulder's killing me in the middle of the night and I'll put on Aunt Zelda's muscle rub. What else? You mentioned the women's supplement, which I didn't know about and I love. So is there anything else I don't know about that I need
the Aunt Zelda, the topical that you're using is interestingly enough, in fact, an article just came out recently talking about how it's becoming like a cult favorite, is a moisturizer and anti-acne. Which is crazy. It's like I developed it as a alternative to Tiger Balm because I can't stand the smell of camphor and all these nasty things. And so I created this blend and almost immediately started using it on my face. And it's all I've used as a moisturizer now for years, twice a day.
Oh.
And so I have a lot of other people that are using it and saying, my God, I had adult acne and now my acne's gone. I have teenagers that are using it and their acne's gone. It's crazy. But it is it's just something. And then like, for example, in Bodega Bay, you go into the restaurants there and in the kitchen, they have our topical in there so that if anyone burns themselves. So it's just really, when people say, what's this topical for? And I'm like, anywhere you have skin, you know, it's like, it's all marketing that says a cannabis product is for X, you know, and I say that having formulas of my own, like a sleep formula that we have a phenomenal sleep formula In fact, the same medicine that's in our sleep formula is in a chocolate bar that C4C makes. They buy our medicine to put into their chocolate bar.
Oh, that's cool.
Because Aunt Zelda's oils are so phenomenal that other people. So we have our sleep and, of course, the women's blend, the topical. And then we've made a decision as a company not to put these, you know, labels on things as if they're for, when they're really well understood THC and CBD products that we can help to dose for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, any of these health claims that these companies are making, they're going to get shut down.
Yeah.
Because you are not allowed to make health claims. I mean, that's absolutely, you know, all these ones that are naming their things, you know, they're going to have to go back and rename them.
Yeah, hopefully they didn't buy their packaging in bulk.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And so we have, like, you go to our website, you go to auntzeldas.org under products, and you can see all of the medicines that we have and, you know, some suggestions on some of the ways that it might make you feel, and then all the associated lab results. And then we leave it to the intelligence of a person to say, you know, okay, you know, this is, you know, saying this has myrcene, which is sleepy, and this and that, and then, you know, make their, without us making claims that are just not accurate.
So do people join your collective to purchase items from your website?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so all of that is at auntzeldas.org, and they can go through the whole process.
Yes.
And then if they have any trouble with the pharmaceuticals they're taking and need some direction beforehand, that is calisspringswellness.com.
Yeah, Calis Spring, no S.
Oh, calisspringwellness.com.
Yeah. And one of the things, the other things is, for example, I speak at a lot of senior events, and I guess we can all relate to each other as seniors, but one of the things is, you know, a lot of people are working with their doctors, whether it's their neurologist, their oncologist, their primary care, that are not supporting their cannabis use. Mm-hmm. And working with our doctors and nurses does two things. Number one, it keeps you under the care of somebody who understands.
Yeah.
And the second thing is we can communicate with your physician to help to educate them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like passing it forward to help the next group of people.
Absolutely. And so people who are starting to take care of their aging parents, they can also call and both listen in on a telehealth call and make sure that...
100%. Awesome. 100%. And then we help the caregivers care for the patient by understanding what they're doing. It starts a conversation that goes back and forth with how are they doing, what's working, like maybe we need to make an adjustment. And then we give our patients a platform for uploading their labs and scans and all their medical records so that, you know, let's say we're on this right track and then you feel better. Let's say, you know, God forbid it's a cancer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you might feel great, but until we see the markers to see if it's actually shrinking the tumor or something, we don't know if it's working.
Right.
And so we need to be able to see that for feedback. Mm-hmm. You know, unless, of course, all the person wants is to feel better while they're going through all this other standard care, in which case that's their right and we'll treat that.
Mm-hmm.
But having a medical professional when you're seriously ill, stay away from Facebook, please. Stay away from Twitter. Stay away from these experts who have an N of one.
Listen to this.
You know, somebody helped them and now they think they're an expert and they figured out they're going to cash in on this green rush. And it's just, you know, get some education and send them to people who really are qualified.
Outstanding. Mm-hmm. Well, if you feel empowered by the information that you've heard today, go to the show notes, casuallybaked.com/blog, and I will have links to everything Mara and I talked about today. Mara, thank you so much for being here. And
my
I'm
pleasure.
Sorry in this chilly little space.
No, it's lovely. And I wish you all the luck in the world. And I look forward to coming back with over the years as you succeed.
There you go. Outstanding. I love it.
Thank you.
Well, thank
of course.
You.
You got your face fixed up nice.
See? What did I tell you? That woman knows her shit. I love it. She is so good. So I hope you learned something today. She sure as shit cleared me up on a couple of things that I thought I knew that I didn't know. Cannabis is nuanced. We're never gonna know it all. It's really good to just dive in, ask questions, do your homework, and I really want Casually Baked, the podcast, to be that thing for you. You're not a pot nerd. You're not going to go searching for this information. So if you're curious about something and I'm not covering it, shoot me an email, ask@casuallybaked.com, or reach out to me on social. My handle, @casuallybaked, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Let's stay in touch. Let me know what you need. I'm here for you. Casually Baked, the podcast, was created, recorded, produced, edited by the team of Just Joe. Our theme music is by my handsome and fabulous friend Seth Walker. If you aren't familiar with his music, check out his latest album, Gotta Get Back, wherever you are buying your music these days. I know he didn't create High Time for me, but it sure as shit sounds like he did, right? I hope you'll tune in next time. Thanks for hanging out.
Okay, party people, I have an announcement to make.
I'm off to the Emerald Cup, the world's largest cannabis competition and expo that I recently saw being called the South by Southwest of cannabis culture. As an Austin gal, I'll be the judge of that. Who knows? Maybe they've got some tricks up their sleeve this year. One thing's for sure, with the new regulations upon us, this might be a last hurrah of sorts for the Emerald Cup as we know it. I'll be sure to savor every sample and be on the lookout for new products and experiences to pass on to you. And then I'm off for my holiday Texas two-step. Stay tuned in 2018 for Casually Baked, the podcast version 2.0. Oh yeah, next season is going to be even better. Just you watch. Enjoy the holidays. And if you want to give the gift of Can of Confidence to someone you love this year, share the podcast. It's free. So puff, puff, pass it on.